All right, we'll say yes. Yeah, you just turn it down. It's the Gehenna setting. We got it very special on the. All right, well, so let's get started. So today's daf is Lamed Gimel. We're gonna pick up again on the last couple of lines of Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis actually five lines up from the bottom, right? The wide lines. Kartzu Bekamas. So remember again, we ended up yesterday with establishing the definition of the word kartzu, which we established means slaughter. So the Gemara says kartzu bekamo. So how much? What's the definition of this kartzu? Because we'll say obviously one thing we know for sure, which is although the Kohen Gadol was doing shechting tamid, clearly he's not doing a complete process, at least in some way. How do we know that? Because at the end of the day, the Mishnah does tell us that another Kohen comes along and finishes off the shechita. So obviously the Kohen Gadol leaves something left over. So the Gemara says, what does kartzu mean? Amru Ula Barov Shtaim. Ula says it means Rov of the two simanim. Remember, when you shecht an animal, there are two simanim that we shecht. We shecht the kon and the veshet, the windpipe and the esophagus. And the halacha is you have to shecht the majority of both those. That's the minimum definition for a kosher shechita. The truth is, inevitably, not inevitably, but during shechita, we usually end up shechting the entire way through. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that kartzu means the basic definition of the basic halachic definition of shechita, which is the majority of the two simonim. Rabbi Yochanan says the same thing. Even Reish Lakish agrees that the Kohen Gadol shechts the majority of the two simonim, the Kana and the Veshet. The Amar Reish Lakish, the Chime Acher Sheshaninu, Rubo Shel Echad Kamohu. Lama Shaninu Rov Echad Ba'ov Rov Shlaim Behemoth. So we'll say it's interesting. Reish Lakish quotes a Mishnah in Meseches Chulin, and the Mishnah says that the minimum halachic definition for Shechita is that when you cut any the majority of any one of the simanim, the majority is like you're cutting the whole. And then the Mishnah goes on to say that the majority of one simon by an oaf, by a bird, is good, and the majority of two simanim by an animal is good. And we'll say the obvious question is, why do you need that statement? Remember, for a bird, you only have to shecht one simon, for animals too. But the question is, if the Mishnah already told me, that lemaisa, the majority of a simon is like the whole simon, then why the need to state it again that by a bird you have to shecht rove of the one simon and by an animal too? The Gemara says lefi sheshaninu, because the Mishnah said hevi elohes hatamid. So Reish Lakish posits it's because of our Mishnah here in Maseches Yuma. Because what did the Mishnah say? Hevi elohes hatamid. If they bring the Kohen Gadol the carbon tamid, kartzu Kohen Gadol shechts it umerak acher shechita al yado, and another comes and completes the shechita. The kibel as hadam, and the Kohen Gadol then receives the blood. Yachol lo meirak yehei pasul. I might have thought that if the other Kohen, second Kohen, would come along and would not complete the Shechita would be pasul. So the Gemara says, one second. Yachol lo meirak yehei pasul imkein havi de'avod v'acher. That can't be. Why can't that be? Because if the majority of the Shechita that's being finished off by another Kohen is somehow an important part of the Avodah, then what they're both saying, and it turns out that the avodah is being done by someone else other than the Kohen Gadol, and that can't be. Utnan kol avodos Yom Kippurim einan ksheros elabo, and we've already established that all of the avodah of Yom Kippur can only be done through the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, "Hachi kama." This is what it means to say, "Yachol yehei pasul midrabanan." I might have thought that if there's not the merika, then you're both saying again, if there's not, essentially. What the Gemara is describing over here is that there are two different pieces. There's what's called kartzu and marika, karatz and marak. The karatz will be the original shechita of the Kohen Gadol. The marika is the completion by someone else. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that if the other Kohen would not do the marika, then again the avoda, the carbon would be pasul mit rabbanon. Therefore, top of lama gimel lekach shaninu. Therefore, the Mishnah tells us rov echad ba'ov. Therefore, Rabbi said the Mishnah Chulin includes an additional phrase in order to shed light here on the Mishnah Yuma to tell us what? That Lamaisa, as long as the Kohen Gadol did his part with the two Simanim, so even if the second Kohen does not go ahead and finish up the Shechita, technically speaking, the animal is still kosher. So the Gemara says, but if that's the case, Lamali Lamari. So Gemara now asks a very interesting question. So now what you're telling me is that the Kohen Gadol essentially does the Shechita by shechting the majority of two of the Simanim. And the fact that another Kohen comes along and finishes it up is not even really necessary. So if it's not necessary, then what? Then why do it at all? To which the Gemara answers, because mitzvah lamarik, because it is a mitzvah to finish off the Shechita. And I will say, now what does that mean? If you look at Rashi, it says mitzvah lamarik, kedei lachotzi esadam yotha. I will say, in order to go ahead and what? In order to allow the blood to flow more freely. The idea over here, remember, is that you need the Shechita blood to flow out of the animal so that the Kohen could go ahead and receive it and ultimately sprinkle it. So apparently, if you shecht both simanim in totality, the blood flows easier out of the animal. So therefore, the Gemara says, although it's not necessary per se for the Shechita, it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah means we do it. Why? Because it allows the blood to flow more freely. Abaye, Misader Ma'arach Mishmei Di Gemara, Va'aliba Da Abashar. So we'll say Abaye literally arranged the order of the Ma'aracha. Now when it says Ma'aracha over here, Ma'aracha normally means like the pyre. In this case, what Ma'aracha means is the order of sacrificial service. So Abaye went ahead and Abaye stated the order of the sacrificial service and in accordance with Abashar. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Now, also Rashi points out over here, this is Mana Seder Avodos Shakoyom Bayom. This is not Yom Kippur. This is just Abaye is just enumerating the sacrificial service on a regular day in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, here's the order. Ma'aracha Gidola, Kodemes LaMa'aracha Shnir. Also, on the top of the Mizbeach, there are two different pyres. There's what's called the Ma'aracha Gidola. Ma'aracha Gidola was the large pyre. That was the pyre on which, again, actual animal sacrifices were burnt. And that was created, or that was built, before the Ma'aracha Shnia Shel Kitoras, before the smaller pyre, which was used for Kitoras. So we'll say, what does this mean? Remember, on the inner Mizbeach, which was the Mizbeach HaKitoras, you burnt incense. And in order to burn incense, you need coals. Where did those coals come from? Those coals were created on the top of the outer Mizbeach. Because again, you didn't actually burn a fire on the inner Mizbeach because it was inside, it was small. It was small, actually. So therefore, they would create the coals on the outer Mizbeach through a secondary pyre, and then would bring those coals inside. Just to show you, if you want to see, I mean, it's... Just so you understand like what this looked like. So for example, here you have it. You have over here, it's this picture. You have the top of the Mizbeach, that's the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohen, I should say. You have the pile of ash here in the middle. Here is where you have the Ma'aracha Gidol, the large pyre. And here you have the Ma'aracha Kitan, the small pyre. So this small pyre, the only thing it was used for was to create coals that would then be carried inside to the small inner Mizbeach. That's the Mizbeach HaKotan, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach HaKitoras. And those are the coals on top, which came from the outer Mizbeach. Says the Gemara the following. So the Ma'aracha Gidola was created before the Ma'aracha Kitan Shel Kitoras. Ma'aracha Shniya Shel Kitoras, Kodemes L'Sidur Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. So remember, the creation of the small pyre that was used to create coals for the inner Mizbeach, that was done before the bringing up of the two pieces of wood. Remember, again, each and every day, there was a mitzvah to go ahead and bring up two additional pieces of wood that we placed on the pyre. That was also an avoda. Remember, we already established that was an avoda done by the Kohen. So the Abaye is just giving me the order. So they would arrange the pyre for the Kitoras before they would bring up the two additional pieces of wood. V'sidur shnei gizrei eitzim kodlun dishnu mizbeach hapanimi. And the bringing up of the two additional pieces of wood was done before the removal of the ash of the inner Mizbeach. Now, I will say, when we speak about removal of the ash, this is the real removal of the ash. The first thing they did in the morning was what? Was Trumas Hadeshen. What was that? That was more like a ceremonial removal of the ash, because they only removed the kamitza, a very small amount. This over here is talking about the actual removal of the mound of ash. The Dishon Mizbeach HaPanimi, and the removal of the ash from the Mizbeach on the inside, Kodem Lahatavas Chamesh Neros.
I'm sorry, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that's the Ketoros.
The Ketoros Mizbeach. I'm sorry.
The Shemos is from the Adam.
From the Adam Mizbeach, correct. So Shemos HaDeshen, the Adam Mizbeach was done first. Right. That was done first thing in the morning. This now is talking about the removal of the ash of the Ketoros Mizbeach.
And the inner Mizbeach. And they remove the rest of the ash.
We'll get to that. We're going to get to that. Emir Tz Hashem. V'dishun Mizbeach HaPnimi, Kodem lahatavas chamish neros. And the removal of the ash from the inner mizbeach was done before the cleaning of the five neros. We'll say, remember again, we had an earlier machlokes about the way in which the menorah was kindled. So this is why the Gemara says that Abaye is arranging this in accordance with Abishol. Because according to Abishol, there was a 5-2 split. They lit five candles, then did, or I should say prepared five candles, then did something in the middle, we'll see what the something is, and then came back and did the last two. So for example, over here, so the Gemara says that they would clean out the inner mizbeach before the cleaning of the five candles for the menorah. V'hatavas chamesh neros. And then they would clean out the five candles before the, actually Rashi points out over here that kodem ledam hatamid, Rashi says, l'shchita ulizrika. So they would do the five candles and then they would shecht and sprinkle the blood of the tamid. V'dam hatamid kodem lehatava shtei neros. And then, so the slaughtering and the sprinkling of the blood of the tamid was done before the cleaning and arranging of the last two candles. V'hatavas shtei neros, and the cleaning and arranging of the two candles, kodem l'ketores, was done before the ketores. U'ketores kodem l'ivarim, and the ketores ultimately was done before the burning of the limbs on the mizbeach, the carbon on the mizbeach. V'ivarim l'mincha, and the limbs were taken care of before the carbon, before the mincha. Also remember, there was a mincha that was brought together with the carbon tamid. Or mincha lechavitin, the mincha was brought. And if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says lemincha. He says minchas nisko shel tamid. So this is the mincha that came along with the tamid. So the mincha was before the chavitin. Mincha lechavitin. The chavitin, remember, is the special carbon mincha of the Kohen Gadol. The chavitin lenisachin. The chavitin came before the wine libations. Unisachin lemusafin. And the wine libations would come before the musafin. Meaning, if there was a day where there was a carbon musaf, so the nisachin would come before the musafin. Musafin lebazichin. The musafin would come before the bazichin. I will say, what are bazichin? Bazichin are the two spoons of lavona, of frankincense. Remember again, as you mentioned, when they would put the lechem aponim on the shulchan, they would also put two spoons, is probably the wrong word, more like ladles, onto the shulchan. Here you can see it right here. This is a picture of the shulchan, and these are the two things of lavona, two receptacles of lavona that would be kept on the bottom of the shulchan. So the halacha was that on Shabbos, when they went ahead and they changed over lechem aponim, they would burn these two receptacles of lavona, of they called them the bazichin. So we'll say, so again, remember, let's say on a Shabbos, you would do the musaf and then the bazichin. U'bazichin l'tamid shal bein arba'im, and the burning of the incense would happen before the afternoon tamid. Shene'emar v'hiktir aleha chal v'hashlamim, because the pasuk says, by the carbon, you will burn on it literally the fats of the shlamim. Aleha hashlim kalar karbonos kulam. The Gemara dashes from that pasuk, aleha, on the carbon tamid, all other karbonos should be completed. Or in other words, Rabosai, that the halacha was that the carbon tamid, bin arbaim, the afternoon tamid, was the last sacrifice that was offered. Stuff still went on in the mizbeach afterwards. They burnt the limbs, the leftover limbs and fats. But lemaisa, the carbon tamid shal bein arba'im, was the last carbon of the day. So this is the order of a day, obviously not Yom Kippur, but a day in the life of the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara is going to go back and try to go through each of these lines and understand where Abaye gets this order from. Because obviously the order has to be based on something. So the Gemara says, Omer Mar, let's analyze this. Ma'arocha gedola kodem, gedola kodem is the ma'arocha shniya shel ketores. Remember, the first thing Abaye said is that the creation of the large pyre for the Mizbeach was before the smaller pyre, which was only used, not only, but which was used to create the coals for the base, for the inner Mizbeach. So Minolan, where do we know that from? This Sanya, because the Raisa says, Hi ha'ola al-mukda, Ala mizbeach kol alayla. So the Torah says the following. The Torah says, it is the ola, amokda. Amokda means it's on the fire. Al hamizbeach, it's on the altar. Kol halayla, all night. So the Gemara says, what fire are we referring to over here? Zu ma'arocha gidola. This refers to the large pyre. Ve'ish ala mizbeach tukad bo. And there should be a fire burning on the mizbeach. Zu ma'arocha shniya shel ketores. This refers to the fire, the smaller pyre, which was ultimately used to create coals for the inner mizbeach for the Kitar. So we'll say, what do you see over here? You see over here that in the order of the psukim, the Torah first mentions the large pyre, and then only afterwards the smaller one. Therefore, Mara is suggesting that this is where Abai gets this idea that the creation of the large pyre precedes the creation of the smaller pyre. I ve'efochana. But how do you know that? Meaning, remember, these terms are not explicit. So why don't you say that the first mention of an age is a mention of the small ma'aracha, the small pyre, and the second mention is the larger one? To which the Gemara says, no. Mistabra ma'aracha gidola adifa. It would appear to me clear that the creation of the larger pyre takes precedence. Why? Shekein kaparasa meruba. Because we'll say literally kaparasa meruba, its atonement, we'll use Ben Sion's word from yesterday, is frequent, right? Its atonement is frequent. Now, what is that? You look at Rashi. Kaparasa meruba, she aleha maktirin kol haketores, kol haktoros, excuse me, chutz min haketores lifnim lehecho. Because we'll say again, it's that large pyre that's used for what? Pretty much for all sacrificial service, with the exception of what? Ketores, which is done on the inside. So the Gemara says it would make more sense to first discuss the dominant pyre and then only afterwards the secondary one, because that smaller pyre is only used to go ahead and create coals for the inner mizbeach, which is only used for one thing, which is ketores, whereas the ma'aruch gedol is used for everything else.
Did the second pyre always have to be burning too?
The second pyre was always burning, yep. Okay. So the Gemara says, Adrabo, ma'arucha shenia adifa. I bet the Gemara says, but maybe not. Maybe the smaller ma'aracha, what he calls the second ma'aracha, is actually more important one. Sheki machnisin mimena lifnim. Because we'll say at the end of the day, remember, literally means we take from it inside. And I will say this means two things. We take from it inside in terms of what? In terms of the Kodesh. It's taken inside to the Kodesh, to the Binzeach, maybe to the Mizbeach HaKetores. But also remember, it's also taken inside where? To the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on Yom Kippur. To which the Gemara says, afilu hachi, kaparasa meruba adifa. Even so, Rabosai, again, more frequent kapara is adif, is more important. We'll say, just as an aside, you know, there's an interesting tshuva. As someone asked Rav Moshe, everybody gets a large number of solicitations in the mail for tzedakas. So they once asked Rav Moshe, what is it better to do? Is it better to give a lot to a little or a little to a lot? Right. So meaning I could choose three tzedakas and give them more significant donations, or I could give just a little bit to everybody. So instead of Rav Moshe Paskin, that it's better to give a little to a lot. Why? Because that makes you into a habitual giver. Because just the process of constantly giving over and over and over, even if it's a smaller amount each time, it conditions you. So it's interesting. So what is the, it's a reminder over here, because what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that the ma'aracha gedola, it's true, the ma'aracha kitana, the small pyre, might have more kashiv, listen, that it gets into the Kodesh Kadashim, but you know what? It only gets there once a year. And even once he gets into the Kodesh, it's only for one time. But the Ma'aracha Gedola, the large pyre, it's used every single day, multiple times. Almost like the frequency of engaging in a Davar Shebikdusha trumps something that might engage less infrequently, even with more intense Kiddushim. It's a good lesson in life. Vibay same other possibility is, meaning other possibility as to why we should arrange the larger Ma'aracha before the smaller Ma'aracha. So the Gemara says, because ila mashkech etim ma'aracha shnia, milo ma'ayel ma'aracha gidol. Because also the Gemara makes an interesting point. Let's say for some reason you didn't have a ma'aracha kitana. For some reason, there was no wood. There was no wood left over. Or whatever, something else happened. Where would you bring the coals for the ketorvus mizbeach from? You could bring it from the large ma'aracha. So since technically speaking, the large ma'aracha could even go ahead and what? Service the needs of the smaller ma'aracha. Therefore, the ma'aseh, again, it has kedimos, it has precedence over the smaller ma'aracha. Okay, next, ma'aracha shnei shnal ketores kedos l'sidur shnei gizrei etzim. The arrangement of the smaller ma'aracha, which again was used to produce coals for the inner mizbeach, precedes the placement of the two pieces of wood on the larger ma'aracha. Minala, where do we get this from? V'chsev ubir aleha ha'koin etzim baboker. So because what does the Torah say? Torah says that the coin will put wood on it or will burn wood on it, baboker, baboker, each and every morning. Aleha v'lo al chaverta. So we'll say, so what are we dashing from here? That this is talking about the Shnei Gezeirim, the placement of the two additional pieces of wood. So we learn from here that where should it be placed? It should be placed on the large Ma'aracha and not on its friend, not on the smaller Ma'aracha. But we can infer from that, Nichlal, the Isi Lechaverta. And we'll say, here's what's interesting. The fact that the Torah has to tell me that you should place the two pieces of wood on the large Ma'aracha, the Gemara infers, and not on the other Ma'aracha, indicates that what? That the other Ma'aracha is already in existence. Which means that by the time that you are placing the two pieces of wood on the large Ma'aracha, the smaller Ma'aracha must already exist, which by definition tells us that Ma'aracha Kitana precedes the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. Ay, Bahai Aleha mi boile lugufe. But one second, but we need that pasuk to teach us the very concept of Shnei Eitzim. Right? What's mean? The Gemara's darshaning is the word Aleha, on it and not on its friend, which the Gemara is using to prove the existence of the Ma'aracha Kitana even before the placement of the two pieces of wood. But the Gemara says, I need the word Aleha to teach me what? The concept that you actually place two pieces of wood on the Ma'aracha Gedola. To which the Gemara says, no. Shrei Aleha Ksideh. It says the word Aleha twice in the Pasuk. So one Aleha teaches me the concept that I have to place the two pieces of wood on the larger Mizbeach, and the other Aleha teaches me what? On it and not on the smaller Ma'aracha, which indicates that the smaller Ma'aracha is already in existence. Sidur Shnei Gezrei Eitzim Kodom Vishnu Mizbeach HaPinimi. The arrangement of the two pieces of wood on the large Ma'aracha precedes the removal of the ash of the inner Mizbeach. Af Agav Dohok Ksib Baboker Baboker. Vachok Ksib Baboker Baboker. So I'll say, even though by each of these avodos, the arrangement of the two pieces of wood and the removal of the ash from the Irem Mizbeach, the Torah says the word, the phrase, Baboker Baboker, says it twice. Afilu Hachi Machshir Adif. A machshir, I'll say, a preparatory act is more important. Machshir Mainihu. So what exactly is the machshir? Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. Oh, the machshir is Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. So I'll say, what the Gemara seems to indicate over here is like this, that when you have the placement of the wood on the Mizbeach, that's a machshir. What is it a machshir for? Because it's the wood that enables the consumption of all sacrificial items. And therefore, the Gemara suggests that a machshir should take precedence over something else. So the Gemara says, one second. Now, the way we would think to read this would be that the wood is a machshir because the wood produces the coals that are going to be used for the inner mizbeach to burn the ketores. And that's why the machshir, the preparatory act, should come first. But the Gemara says, doesn't make sense. Why? But you just told me before that the two pieces of wood don't go on the small pyre for the inner Mizbeach. Rather, where do they go? They go on the large pyre. So meaning, this is not a preparatory act for the Ketores. So the Gemara says, Shum Eitzim. The difference is it has the name of wood. So we'll say, what does that mean? That essentially, even though this particular wood is not going to be used for the Mizbeach HaKetores, but it's called wood, and the arrangement of all wood, which is in and of itself a preparatory act, should take place before the removal of the ash on the inner Mizbeach. Ravina says, Ravina Amar, Hoyo V'hischa B'ma'aracha Gomer. Ravina gives a simple answer. He says, you know why the placement of the two pieces of wood precedes the removal of the ash of the inner Mizbeach? Because once you started with the pyres on the Mizbeach, finish the job. It doesn't make sense to start with the larger and then go to something else. You start it on top of the finish off. Ravashi says, I'll tell you why it's a preparatory act. Oh, so also you know what the Gemara says? So Ravashi says, it really is a preparatory act for the inner Mizbeach. Why? Because in the event that for some reason you wouldn't have any coals from the smaller Ma'aracha, where would you take the coals from? You would take the coals from the large pyre. Bless you. So because of that, the arrangement of the two pieces of wood is in fact called a preparatory act for the Ketores, and therefore it comes before the Ketores. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Dishum is Be'ach, the removal of the ash from the Irm is Be'ach, Kodem v'hatavas chamesh neros, comes before the arrangement of the five neros of the menorah. So the Gemara says, my time of the cleaning of the neros. My time, what's the reason? Amar Abayi, Gemara Gamirna, Svara lo yadana. Abayi says, all I can tell you is that this is the tradition that we received. Gemara Gamirna, we'll say, Gemara Gamirna can mean it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. Gemara Gamirna can mean this is the Masorah that I have, but I don't know why. I don't have a svara, I don't have a logical interpretation for it. So the Gemara says, "Rava Amar Rava says, Rava Amar Kriyish Lakish, Damar Kriyish Lakish, Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos." So we'll say it's very interesting. So Reish Lakish says that in general, in ma'avir al mitzvos. So we'll say, look at Rashi. Last Rashi on Amud Aleph. What does it mean in ma'avir al mitzvos? Hapogeva mitzvah lo ya'avar mimeno. If you literally, if you encounter a mitzvah, you should not pass over it. Then nath galan b'mechilta. We learn this out from the Mechilta, the Medrash that says, "Mi ushmartem es hamatzos, karibay es hamitzvos, lo tamtin ad shetach mitzvit yashin." So I will say, interestingly enough, this is usually used as a makar, as a source for zrizos, for alacrity. Here, the Gemara is ultimately using it in the context of ein ma'avir ala mitzvos. Torah says, "Ushmartem es hamatzos." You will guard the matzos to make sure they don't become chametz. So the Gemara points out you could vocalize that differently. Ushmartim es hamitzvos. Be vigilant with the mitzvos. Or in other words, if a mitzvah habali adecha, al tach mitzena. If a mitzvah comes to your hand, don't let it pass. Ima avinu ala mitzvos. So turn the page. V'chi, and therefore, so what does that do with anything? V'chi ayah lehecho, v'mizbeach paga bereisha. So we'll say, when you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, the first thing you're going to encounter when you walk in is what? Is the small mizbeach. That's the first thing you encounter. Therefore, Rabbi Osai, to go ahead and bypass the mizbeach, to go to the menorah, would be effectively what? Would be effectively being ma'avi. Would effectively mean going ahead and passing over a mitzvah. Rabbi Osai, just to show you the picture of this very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. I don't know if you could see this. But when you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, when you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, essentially what you have over here as you walk in, you have the Shulchan to your right and the menorah to your left. So you must point out, when you first walk in, the first thing you see is the inner Mizbeach. So because of that, in ma'avirin ala mitzvos, you can't pass over a mitzvah. And therefore, again, the removal of the ash on the Mizbeach comes before the arrangement of the candles or the arrangement of the lights on the menorah. So the Gemara says, this sanya, shulchan b'tzafon, the Gemara is now proving just the layout of the Beis HaMikdash, shulchan b'tzafon, the table was in the north, mashuch min hakosel shtei amos u'mechza, and it was pulled away from the wall 2.5 amas. Menorah b'darom, the menorah was in the south, mashuch min hakosel shtei amos u'mechza, and was drawn away from the wall 2.5 amas. Mizbeach memutza v'omid be'emtzo, mashuch klapei chutz kimo. So the Mizbeach itself was directly center in the room, in the mikdash, and pulled a little bit towards the door. Meaning, Rabbi Osai, as we're going to see, the menorah and the shulchan were directly opposite each other. The menorah was in the middle of them, but not directly in the middle. It was pulled a little bit toward. So the Gemara says, why is that? V'nukmei lahadayu. But I don't say, why don't you arrange them all in a direct line? Very interesting answer. Keva dechsev ve'es ha-menorah nochach ha-shulchan. Because Rabbi Osai, the pasuk says that the menorah must be opposite the shulchan, and therefore, ba'inan dechazu ahadadi. We require that the menorah and shulchan literally be visible to one another. Must be a direct line of sight without any obstructions between the menorah and the shulchan. If you were to put the mizbeach point there in the middle, that would direct the line of that would obstruct the line of sight, and therefore, what do? We pull the mizbeach forward a little bit. So we'll say this is even more pronounced. So now. Now, really, when the kohen enters into the Beis HaMikdash, the first thing that he's encountering is the Mizbeach. So the Gemara is suggesting, Reish Lakish is suggesting, therefore, the first thing that he does when he walks in there is what? Is the removal of the ash on the top of the Mizbeach. Why? Ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos. Because if a mitzvah abadi adech al tach mitzvah, you have an opportunity, don't pass it by. We'll say, just as an aside, Amar Rava, shmami namid Reish Lakish, learn out from this concept of Reish Lakish, avure dara atotefta aser. That you are not permitted to literally bypass your head tefillin, your arm tefillin for your head tefillin. Aser. So also, what does that mean? That you shouldn't put on your shal rosh before you put on your shal yad. Right? Why is that? Because essentially, if you put on your shal rosh first, remember, you're bypassing your arm in order to get to your head. So, hey, Chiyavid, what should you do? Madra'a or madara lito tefta. You should first put on your arm tefillin and then totefta. Totefta means what? Va'yula totafos b'ninecho. And then put on your head tefillin afterwards. Now, we'll say Tosus points out over here something very interesting. Time is it? Let's see if we have time for this. Okay, we have time for this. Tosus points out something very interesting. Tosus says, if you take a look at the top Tosus, avure dara atotefta. So first, Tosus quotes Rashi. And Rashi says, we'll just see Rashi and Tosus just for the sake of time. Perush Rashi la'aniach tefillin barosh. Kodim Shenech Tfilin Shayad Aser. You can't put on your shalosh before you put on your shayad. The Kamaavir a mitzvah Tfilin Shayad, the Pagabereisha Bizroa, Kodim Shiagia Larosh. Because the mice again, it's in ma'adrin al-mitzvahs because you come, so to say, you come in contact with your arm before your head. So look what Tosa says. Tosa says, Nekasha, lefi demait yuriyam midreish lakish, teipuk le mid amr beperek ha-komitz rabba, kishumaniach shal yad, v'acharkach sharosh tichsiv, ukshartim li'os al yodecha, v'hadar v'hayu letotafos b'nei necha. So Tosa says, I don't understand. There's a very simple reason why you put on your shalyad before your shalosh, which is what? That's the order of the Torah, right? So what do you mean, in ma'avir and alam? What are you talking about? So Tosas quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, who quotes Rabbeinu Haigon Rabosai, who understands the following. Look, Umefarish Rabbeinu Tam b'shem Rabbeinu Haigon Zatzal, Da'ari b'sha'a shecholit tefillin, Umaniach b'tik, shalo ya'avir osan shalyad v'yitnein b'tik t'chila, listen to this. Apparently, the tefillin bags of yesteryear, most of them were not like our tefillin bags today, where you have a wide bag in which you can go ahead and put tefillin side by side. More often than not, I guess, you know, this has made a comeback where people now use like that thermos for tefillin, right? So canister. So now that's the way tefillin bags apparently were more often made in times of the Talmud, which was you put one tefillah on top of the other. So Rabbeinu Tam, the name of Rabbeinu Haigon, is saying, you know what the Gemara is telling you? The Gemara is saying that when you put your tefillin away, don't put your shel rosh on top of your shel yad. Why? Because then what's going to happen is you're going to have to bypass the shel rosh in order to get to the shel yad. Rather, go ahead and what? Put the shalyad on top of the shalrosh in order that you not be in violation of ein ma'avirin al ha-mitzvos. But to tell me the proper order for putting on, that I don't need a principle. That's explicit in the Torah. It's just interesting. I will say, that is halacha l'maisa. That's why, again, we say, again, the halacha says that even when if one has a side-by-side bag, one must make sure to go ahead and know where they're placing each one. And in fact, halacha is not for today. But again, if you were to take out the wrong tefillah, according to many opinions, you would have to put that one on first. So if you were to go ahead and take out the shel rosh first, you would have to put on the shel rosh first because the ma'isa in ma'i were looking appropriate. Again, I'm saying, if we have time in a separate shiur, I'll explain that more in depth because it's not as poshut as it sounds. But the ma'isa in ma'i al mitzvah. So again, for the placement of tefillin itself, that's based on the pasuk. But here, according to Rabbi Nitzel Machlokis, Rashi and Tosas, according to Rashi, the Gemara is literally saying, no, in ma'i al mitzvah, therefore put on shel yad before shel rosh. Tosas says, I have a pasuk to teach me that. Therefore, says Rabbi Natan, the name of Rabbi Haigon, Gemara is teaching me when putting away my tefillin, put it away that when I put it on the next day, I don't have to bypass one tefillah for the next. And the arrangement of the five candles comes before the service of the, I should say, the shechting and the zrika of the blood of the tamid. The dama tamid kodim la tavas shtei neros. So we'll say, remember, so now I have the arrangement of the five candles before the shechita and zrika of the tamid, and then the shechita and zrika of the tamid before the arrangement of the two remaining candles. My time, what's the reason? Amar Abaye, hahu baboker, the shnei gizrei etzim, delo tzrichi shadin hu lahacha. So also remember, the Torah tells us, baboker, by the shnei gizrei etzim. Now remember, we've already established that I don't need that baboker, by shnei gizrei etzim to establish the precedent of that over the removal of the ash of the mizbeach. Why? Because we already answered, machshir adiv. We already answered that the placement of the wood on the Mizbeach is a preparatory act, and the preparatory act will come before anything done on the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. If that's the case, then I have a baboker, two babokers that are freed up for other drushas. And therefore, what do I do with it? Shadin hu lahacha, place it over here, chad shadye lahatavas chamesh neros, put one baboker to teach me about the arrangement of the five candles. And what does that do? By placing an extra baboker. Also remember, the word baboker indicates a precedence. Early, or do it in the morning. So put one of them, apply one of them to the arrangement of the five candles, and therefore, again, that will tell me that I'm supposed to do that dilikadne ledam hatamid. That will tell me that I have to do it before the blood of the tamid. Bechad shajye ledam hatamid, and place another one by the blood of the tamid. Dinikdeme lahatavas shtei neiros. That will come to teach me that I do that before the arrangement of the two candles. So the Gemara says, Chad shajye lahatavas chamesh neiros dilikadme. Again, I'm going to use one of the babokers of Shnei Gizrei Eitzim and apply it to the arrangement of the five candles, and that teaches me that it comes before the slaughtering and the zrika of the dam atamid. Why? Dehacha tlasa, vahacha trei. Because now I have three bokers by the five candles of the menorah and only two bokers by the tamid. Three bokers beats two. Dechat rabosei, just so you understand. This is a general called exegetical principle, that whenever you have additional words that are not used in a particular context, the halacha says that you could apply that to other circumstances. The chad shajay, and therefore I'm going to use one of the bokers, ledama tamid, dinekadme lahatavas shteaneros, and therefore I'll use one of the other bokers to teach me what? That it come to apply it to the tamid, and therefore the tamid comes before the arrangement of the last two candles. And even though you only have two bokers by the two candles and two bokers by the tamid, so the Gemara says, nevertheless, mechaper adif, something that is mechaper takes precedence. And since the carbon is mechaper and the menorah does not, therefore the shechita and zrika of the tamid will occur before the two candles of the menorah. Amrli Rav Papa L'Abaye, Rav Papa says, Tabai ve'ema chad shajid edishim mizmeach hapanimi, dinikhadne ledam atamid. I don't understand. Why don't you say that give one of the bokers to the removal of the ash of the inner mizbeach and teach me that it comes before the sacrifice of the tamid, because then you'll have three bokers by the mizbeach and only two bokers by the tamid. The chad shajay ledam atamid dinikdom lahatavas chamesh neiros, and then use the other boker and apply it to tamid and teach me that tamid comes before the menorah altogether. The apagav the hachatrei v'hachatrei mechaper adit, because again, even though in that case the menorah will have two bokers, bless you, and the tamid will have two bokers, tamid should come before menorah. Why? Because tamid is mechaper. To which the Gemara says, im kein avsuke b'may misafkuslu. If that's the case, then what service do you have that will interrupt, or that will be mafsik in between the menorah? What the Gemara is suggesting over here is if you go ahead and you put the shechita and the zrika of the tamid before the kindling of the menorah, so then what sacrificial service is there in order to go ahead and split up the lighting of the menorah? To which the Gemara says, Hanicha l'Reish Lakish de'amar, lama mativin v'chozinu mativin. So this makes sense according to Reish Lakish, who says, Rabosei, why do we split up the kindling of the menorah? We already had this earlier. Why do you do a 5-2 split? So Reish Lakish says, Kedei lahargish kol ha'azara kula. Reish Lakish says, we only do it in order to go ahead and, what? In order to go ahead and create an excitement, create a buzz within the Beis HaMikdash. We'll say essentially, by splitting up the kindling of the menorah, there's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of activity. And activity creates an excitement, an air of excitement in the Beis HaMikdash. So according to Reish Lakish, there's no real obligation to do it. We just do it to create an excitement. And therefore, again, according to Reish Lakish, if you want to entertain the idea of doing the tamid before the menorah, fine. However, El Rabbi Yochanan Damar Baboker Chalkeil L'Shnei Bekar Maiklin. But Rabbi, remember, according to Rabbi Yochanan holds that mid the Oraisa there is an obligation to split up the kindling of the menorah. Why? Because by the menorah it's Baboker, which means two Babokers, two processes. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that there's a literal obligation to split up the kindling of the menorah. So the Maisa, if you put the tamid before the menorah, then what sacrificial service is splitting up the menorah? Okay, fine. So therefore, the Gemara says, therefore, we can't entertain the idea that Tamid will come before the menorah, because we need Tamid to be in the middle of the menorah in order that what? That it splits up the service. Especially because Rabbi Yochanan holds that the splitting up of the menorah service is midoraisa. Amar li Ravina Ravashi. Ravina says Ravashi, Hai baboker baboker de itzim min yaser. Is the baboker baboker of the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, is it really extra? Hai mi bailei legufei. We need that for itself, meaning what? Kamar achmana, nikdemu l'ma'aracha shenia shal kitores. That, remember, the Torah, we learn out from that drasha baboker to tell us that the shnei gizrei etzim are put on the ma'aracha gedola before the ma'aracha shniyah for ketores is made. Amalei v'lav miu kimna alea v'lo achaverta michlal de isla chaverta. To which he answers, no, you don't need that drasha baboker because the Torah says, remember, by the shnei gizrei etzim that was, you will place the shnei gizrei etzim aleha on the ma'aracha gedola aleha. The Gemara dashes aleha on it. And not on its fellow. Its fellow refers to the Ma'aracha Shnia, the Ma'aracha Kitana, which indicates that what? That it's already in existence at the time of the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. The Gemara goes weiter. Ma'ishna do'avid ha'tavas chamesh neiros bereisha. So why is it? Why is it? No, actually, we're gonna stop over here. We'll stop over here. We'll pick up with this in Yirtzah Hashem tomorrow.